You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome back to Section 31, episode number 007. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week will be our 1E episode. We're going to be talking about all kinds of first edition stuff, including formats, card templates, etc. We've got another spoiler for you from the Undiscovered Country listener mail. So let's start it off.
Looks like you're going to get to play a spy after all.
Well, we've had a couple of 1E tournaments here recently in San Diego.
Yeah, two back-to-back, actually, which is kind of odd for schedule, but we had a 1E sealed deck tournament. It only lasted a few rounds because we started pretty late in the evening for a school night, but we drafted a couple of packs of what?
Some of the most random combination of packs ever.
Yeah, Rules of Acquisition. Do we have Holodeck Adventures? Is that right?
Yeah, it's, some Holodeck Adventures, a couple packs of Motion Pictures.
We started with the
best of Starter Deck 2.
Starter Deck 2, yeah, that was just bizarre. But, you know, it turned out to be a good time. And we
Everybody seated their memory wipe.
Yeah. One of the locals here, Thomas Weinberg, has been putting together kind of a draft pack to go with it, to go with the OTSD pack that we bring along that includes Temporal Micro Wormhole, a Janeway, backwards compatible Janeway of all things. A couple of dilemmas.
Dilemmas, yeah.
Yeah.
Or an Auron threat, however you say that. And
yeah,
unexpected. Yeah, that was a good time drafting.
Yeah, I had a better time at the game than it seemed others did. I won both of my games, but I think we had all around a little more fun at the 1E Constructed tournament that we did on the following Saturday.
Yeah, Constructed was a lot more fun, I think, just because, you know, I think we've gotten spoiled with 2E trying to kind of relaxed into the more streamlined, less complicated format, and there's so many different things to remember how they work and how they used to work, but they don't work that way anymore, and they've changed, you know, they changed at the end of 1E, or they've changed since 2E has come out, and so, you know, you build your own deck, you know how your deck works, you have to know how your opponent decks work, and that's about it. The draft, it was like all these cards, and I don't remember how this card works, and I never use this, and
you know, there's been a lot of discussion on the boards recently about what should happen to 1E as a format, and a lot of different scenarios posted about how locals have done it, the balance of power format. What we've come up with down here between Matt Kirk, and he came up with the original idea, but we've kind of been molding it as we go on, is this 1E 30-30 format that's the basic rules are you can only have 30 cards in your draw deck and 30 cards in your seed deck, and it's been working pretty well. It excludes a lot of the strange stuff that, you know, you would see at a traditional 1E tournament that is just annoying.
You just don't have room to put in, you know, 40 copies of Paylor Toph and 40 copies of the Power. I'm looking at you, Franklin. Just kind of have to pare it down to the essentials. I think we did kind of tweak it a little recently, just for fun, to kind of keep the fun edge in it. I believe we recently added an automatic regenerate. If you deck, you get your ships and your personnel back once. Is that correct?
Yeah, with only 30 cards in the deck, you kind of run out pretty quickly. So we put in an auto regenerate, similar to the warp speed format. We also added in some of the other proposals, there was an idea to limit the number of card draws per turn. Here we limit the number of card plays per turn. So you only get to play three personnel maximum on a turn. And we added either a free personnel card play or a free end of turn draw.
That's kind of like We Are the Borg.
Exactly.
Only for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely an interesting new format. I know you and I played in the first round this last week, and we were both had quite the lengthy couple of first turns sort of getting used to, am I going to get a free card play or a free card draw? But once we got used to it, it actually was quite nice. I got the beginning turns of the game over a little bit more quickly and really got into the meat of the game more. A lot less timed games this tournament than our last 20.
Actually, one of the other major changes that we added, just due to popular opinion, was no duplicated seed cards. Your seed card had to be Highlander style. You can have no duplicate dilemmas. You can have no duplicate seed cards of any sort. So all the dilemma combos were very interesting, very diverse. It wasn't what was that combo that we saw over and over again the first time? It was Love Interest Garbage Cow and then Unscientific Method over and over again. And it was kind of boring. I really, really liked the format that we had. There were one or two problems that we had this time around. Franklin, brilliant as he is, threw in a Next Emanation that really tortured a lot of people because, but with a free regenerate, he was making
sure nothing to regenerate.
That worked out a little too well.
I'll be conducting interviews with each one of you.
We play most of our Saturday tournaments at a restaurant in here in San Diego called Arby's. And so we renamed the card RBQ the referee, and it pretty much, the gist of it is, it allows you to play all the ref cards you want in your tent. So all 30 or however many there are, you can place them in your tent. They don't count against the Q's tent limit, and after you use them, they bounce right back underneath. So it pretty much eliminates any kind of nonsense that you can think of.
Well, the one thing that the kind of problem I've always had with 30-30 from way back is that you don't have enough room. Obviously, the theory is that you don't have enough room in your deck to do any of the cheesy nonsense that's going to provide a negative play experience for the players. But there's no way in your 30-card deck and your 13-card tent that you can pack all of the tent cards or the ref cards that you need. And I really like the way that we as a community agreed to go with that. I think you actually designed the final card for that.
I happen to like it because it lets me use all the random ref cards for their alternate uses. I mean, I had never even considered using, what was it? It wasn't panel overload. Scanner interference on you when you you used your Nor to look at the seed card there?
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious because it doesn't necessarily refer to the card scan or full planet scan. It just says scan, which is also in the text of the science lab, which I had actually overlooked. So when I was trying to look out the window from Deep Space Nine at a space mission to look at the first dilemma underneath, I got slapped with another dilemma put under from Dan's tent. Who puts dilemmas in their tent?
Well, I'll tell you, since I was able to take all the ref cards out of the tent, you know, conceptually, and they didn't take up any slots, I was able to put a lot of stuff in my tent that I don't usually put there.
I did also like the fact that, and we don't normally do this, but I think we're leaning towards it, which was this last tournament was very specifically a Highlander tournament. You could only have one copy of a card at all. And I think that was the most fun that any of us had at 1E in a long time. And incidentally, as a tip for all you backwards compatible card players out there, as it happens, any card that's a ship in 2E that is backwards compatible, apparently little known fact, they are all considered to have tractor beams. Don't forget, like I did, and get screwed by the garbage scow thinking that you can't move it because you have a backwards compatible Starfleet ship that doesn't say tractor beam on it.
We have to follow standard containment procedures.
All right, well, I'm sure all of you are eager for another dose of the Undiscovered Country, as we're all eagerly awaiting, just under a month away, not a year away. We have a dilemma, yet another dilemma to spoil for you this week. What card do we have, Dan?
This is card 15V8, The Conscience of the King.
Looking at dual dilemma, planet or space, cost 3. Place this dilemma on this mission. Each planet dilemma and space dilemma revealed at this mission cost -1.
Right. So I particularly like this card because, you know, back when we were interviewing the head of this continuing committee, Charlie.
I was just going to say, I sense Charlie's hand in this.
Well, I had asked him, you know, since you were behind it, do you actually play with persistent dilemmas? And, you know, when he said yes, the only response was, you know, why? I think this really helped, because all the persistent dilemmas are either, you know, planet or space. So they all be cost minus one. If you can do anything else to reduce the cost of a planet or space dilemma, or, hey, play two copies of this card on the same mission, you're looking at a serious cost reduction and a greatly enhanced number of dilemmas you can play.
Yeah, I think that's going to be make things a lot more interesting. Storage Compartment, which is a wildly popular card when it first came out, I don't think we've seen it as much recently. I think this is going to bring it back big time. So you can slap one of these on top. You can get your, save your planet or your space or you know, for your alternate mission, or save it for a later mission of the same type, and just pile them on at less cost. You'll have more chance to play some of those filters before you hit your wall and have a better chance of it hitting and nasty stuff happening.
So this picture is from the episode The Conscience of the King in TOS. Do you recognize who that is?
I believe that was the King. I don't know the actor's name, but he was the person who, the Shakespearean actor who everybody thought was killing people, but nobody had any proof, and it turned out to be his daughter or something.
Okay.
As a callback to that episode, of course, the lore is a reference to that. It is in quotes, "Will all Neptune's great ocean wash this blood clean from my hands?"
I admit it takes exceptional people to do what we do.
Well, we had a couple of pieces of email from all of you over our two-week hiatus here. Last week, of course, was our monthly trip down to the surface of Risa, and when we came back, we had a message from Kevin Yeager. I believe in episode 6, we mentioned one of his Federation battle decks that Dan had found online. So he sent us a message with a deck list. So if anybody was interested in taking a look at that, we'll have that available posted somewhere. Dan, you have a place we can post that?
Sure. It'll be up at Section 31 in the notes for today's episode.
We also received a message from Brian, Dr. Avocado. He has a comment. He likes to play Federation a great deal, and all the players that he plays with apparently know it, and he's wondering how he can avoid getting hit with the frequent dilemma that affect him, moral choice, and I guess to a lesser extent, shocking betrayal. Besides the obvious advice of switching it up every now and then, Brian, which apparently you see as admitting defeat, there are all kinds of dilemmas busters out there. Oh, Nothing Happened is a great combination with machinations. You can get your dilemma manipulation out and do some on your side of it as well. If you are worried about it for a specific mission, you can always use the Genesis effect. Complete that mission, use Sloan to blow it up, and then play it on another mission. You have any other ideas, Dan?
I dig the idea of just completely throwing them all off and playing like Cardassian 1 week. I mean, because that way they'll have a lot of dilemmas in their pile that won't be as effective against you. And you know, in the next week, you know, they won't have any idea what you're going to play. I think that's the most brilliant.
Exactly.
Hey, maybe admitting defeat, but you know.
Then when you come back with a different Federation deck, you'll surprise them again.
Exactly.
So thanks, Brian, and thanks, Kevin, for your messages. We also did get two or three messages requesting the return of contests. We'll take that into account, but we're still hoping to hear from some more of you. We have heard, we are seeing your feedback on the message boards, and we appreciate that, but we would really like for you to take that extra step, just take a few seconds, click over to your email, and shoot us a message at section31@danhammond.com and let us know that you want the contests. Well, that's all the intelligence we have for you this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt Kirk, we want to offer our thanks up again to Warp 11 and their fantastic music. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And once again, I will offer up the advice for you to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw 7 to end.